there, but hopefully now I have our next guest on the phone, Mr. Miguel Calabresi. Hello, Miguel.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very well. I'm much better now that I've got you on the phone. I was beginning to panic a bit there. We had a bit of telephone trouble, listener. But Miguel is from Blue Rocket Accounting. Miguel, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. I know how busy you've been. Now, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about Blue Rocket, but we're also going to talk about a survey that you've done recently, which produced some fascinating insights into how people are responding to the COVID-19 effects on their business. But tell us a little bit about Blue Rocket to start with.
Yeah, so Blue Rocket Accounting, we're a full-service accountancy firm where we can help anyone from a self-employed status right through to multi-million pound international businesses. And we can do anything from simple tax return right through to running a virtual FD service for some of the larger clients.
Right.
That we're based in Dartford, but we cover most of Kent and a bit of the southeast.
Okay.
And really just trying to help business owners capture the opportunities that are made available to them.
Absolutely. And it's something that is dear to my heart. Having a good accountant with whom you have a good relationship, for me, is one of the most important business relationships you can have. And we've talked to many people about that on the show. And so many people don't always recognise how useful having a good accountant service is, and not just for the numbers, but for all kinds of advice and support.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think what the biggest misconception is that accountancy is always looking at historical figures when we're best kept at trying to predict the future and help with today and tomorrow.
Right.
Because there's not much you can do with what's already happened, but there's a lot of planning and a lot of opportunities that arise when we're looking forward.
Right.
For it.
So, Miguel, you guys a few weeks ago conducted a survey of local businesses in terms of how they were coping, which had some interesting findings. Why don't you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, so we carried out a survey along our clients and contacts just to try and establish what's happened with the impact of COVID-19 on their businesses. And although nearly 80% of the businesses surveyed said that financial losses had been the biggest cost, the results also show that coronavirus has had other significant impacts, including mental strain, lost customers and morale. Leading some businesses have led to permanent staff redundancies.
Yep.
But I think what 41% of small businesses estimate that COVID-19 will reduce their turnover by between 10 and 30%.
Yep.
But there are some businesses that are doing that are doing really well and going against that, actually, for themselves. Mm.
It's like anything, isn't it, Miguel? That, you know, these things throw up opportunities for some people and completely destabilise others. And sometimes they just inspire us to go in a different direction, or what's the common parlance, to pivot our businesses. I've read some really horrifying data about the amount of businesses that probably won't recover at all. I don't know what your findings said about that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, because I think during the lockdown period probably wasn't the worst period of time for a business financially, because of everyone just battened down the hatches and stopped spending and just sat on the cash.
Yep.
Now we're starting to see businesses open again and having costs that they need to meet. And people are now getting back into the swing of things and actually saying, we can't have no more credit extension. We need to get paid because we're in business as well. So like you just said there, that the worst of it may still come, because of now people are going to have to physically start paying for things. And then when the furlough costs change and it's starting to cost employers,
absolutely,
it'll be more of a decision to bring someone back or make them redundant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think enough people have kind of thought about this, but especially from a small business point of view, as you quite rightly say, the government stepped in quite quickly and provided a lot of financial support in one way or another. But of course, when that ends, what you're left with is a lot of businesses that have debts, because some of it needs to be repaid. They've had things that they've offset. So I was talking earlier about the offset, you know, deferring VAT payments and stuff like that. But those payments have still got to be made at some point. And of course, when they come back to work, they've lost their entire pipeline of customers. So a lot of businesses are almost in startup mode, but with quite a lot of heavy baggage around that as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was going to say the same thing, really, but it's like businesses are starting again, but this time they've got debt. Instead of using their own money, what they may have saved, they've now got debt to pay off. And I think people are tending to forget that the VAT will become due next year, the self-assessment tax will become due next year.
Yep.
The next VAT return that may be coming up will become due. There is no automatic deferral for it. So there's all of this in the pipeline. So everyone says cash is king, which is 100% correct in this scenario, but it's trying to predict it and saying, okay, what's my best case scenario, what's my worst case scenario, and what's my average, and seeing where you go, because of people with debt, they need to predict this and see it earlier so they don't get into trouble if they have to look at closing the business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll talk about those, unfortunately, that have to close their businesses in a moment, because it's not as straightforward as a lot of people think anyway. You know, you don't just shut the door and walk away. You know, there's a specific set of procedures you have to go through and some things that you will have to look out for. But before we get to that, in your survey, was there anything that encouraged you, if you see what I mean, you know, in terms of businesses that had seen this as an opportunity to move maybe in a different direction or to add new services?
There is some, it's not all doom and gloom in there. So there was a lot of businesses adapting to the new normal of how they're doing it. 58% of the businesses we surveyed said that reducing company expenditure has helped a lot, and there's a lot of the expenditure that they will see through will remain cut off, so see after lockdown, because of one thing that has come out of the survey is businesses have now been forced to work more efficient, so what was nice to have before is no longer around. So they save costs and become more efficient that way, and most of the businesses that we've spoken to are trying to see that through when they come out of lockdown.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting what you say there, because again, sometimes in adversity it can be a bit of a blessing in disguise, because it's made us all sit and look for the first time at our cash flow, our outgoings, and the kind of things we spend money on. And we may have been aware in the past that we were kind of spending money on stuff and, you know, business was trundling along, so you don't really think about it. But when the proverbial hits the fan, you really do have to concentrate hard on what's effective spend and what isn't.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think from going back to some statistics, the ones that we asked, 44% of them say their business won't return back to the way it was when lockdown is lifted. So that's quite a... From a business point of view, looking at it objectively, if nearly half of businesses are saying they're going to change the way they do things, then it's definitely done some good in some way, and to have them forced to look at their business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's forced people to look at what they do and reassess where they are. Some of the interesting things from my point of view, looking at what's going on, for most smaller businesses, the two big overheads that companies face are staff costs, obviously, and premises costs. So far, the government, for most people, not everyone, but for most organisations, the government have stepped in and provided taxpayers' funds to help support staffing costs. What a lot of people have been caught by, especially those companies that are furloughed, is they're locked into leases on premises that can be quite expensive but aren't being used at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. They are. And the first point, with the businesses that we spoke to that are in that position, and they asked us, what can we do? And you're right, once the grants have been made available and rent holidays, well, they're not exactly holidays, but rent deferrals have been given, then... But our first point of contact is always that just pick up the phone and have a chat with your landlords. They are a business owner too, so it's worth having a chat with them, seeing what options are on the table for for moving forward with it.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, a lot of the businesses that we do look after that have offices are not looking to give the offices up. And I don't know if that's because of... my team at Blue Rocket, everyone's working remotely at the moment.
Sure.
But they're all itching to get back to the office.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think a lot of people are. I think we're fed up with our own four walls and talking to the dog.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there is that. It's interesting, though, isn't it? Talking about that, a funny story. In my business, Jobs in Kent, our offices are in Maidstone in the old post office, and my landlord has been a mate of mine. I've known him 30 odd years, and I emailed him at the start of this and said, hello, Charlie, it's me. I'm not going to be paying your rent, mate, because I got everyone furloughed. We're going to defer it. And he wrote back to me and said, I don't care because I've sold the building. So I've never met... I've been in the same building for donkey's years, but I don't know the landlord because they've just sold the building. So that's going to be interesting, getting to know him when this is over. Was there anything else in the survey that you did that really kind of screened out as something that you needed to look at?
That actually jumped out at us.
Yeah.
I think from a business point of view is don't lose faith. There's two things, really. Don't lose faith. We had one respondent that lost 90% of their income during the first 9 weeks of lockdown.
Yeah.
But they've now since recovered, and they're now predicting, well, they've clawed most of it back, and there's only a reduction of 30% year on year now.
Mm.
So it's don't lose faith. Businesses, there are people still out there, and businesses can strive. It's just continuing what you're doing and adapting it to a new way of activities. And the other thing is try not to build bad habits because of... some of the business owners are trying to find a percentage.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. One of the problems that is a perennial thing with especially small businesses is they're not always on top of their credit control. And, of course, that's going to come home to hit them more than anything. Right now under these circumstances, because if they fail to get what's owed, there could be some quite a few bad debt problems when we start to come back online.
There is definitely, and then what business owners tend to do as well, which has been highlighted in the survey, is that they put other people before themselves.
Yeah.
So they will pay everything before they pay themselves a salary.
Yeah.
And that breeds an inefficiency in their business because of the business is then not truly working if it can't afford to pay yourself. So,
yep.
And that's what come out is that a lot of business owners were taking pay cuts or paying other things before paying themselves.
Mm.
And it's all about thinking profit first. You need to be able to pay yourself to run the business. And if you can't, then that's got to be a flag for you to make a decision somewhere along the line to either reduce costs or change what you're doing.
Yeah, it just makes it non-viable. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Miguel, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for the insights from your survey. We wish you continued success, and we'll talk to you again soon, huh?
Okay, no problem. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, Miguel. That's Miguel of Blue Rocket Accounting over there in Dartford. Give us a shout-out for your website, Miguel, before you go, just so people can check you out.
Yeah, thank you. So the website is www.BlueRocketAccounting.com, and on there you'll be able to see the results of the survey in more detail and some other bits that we've shared, and there's also a COVID-19 resource area with some top tips and advice.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Miguel. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers for now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Miguel Calabresi there of Blue Rocket Accounting with the details of the survey of some of the small businesses affected by COVID-19. I've still got tweets coming in all over the place. I've still got some stuff to tell you about. And I've got a Zoom catch-up to play you where I caught up with Jules last week, and we had a natter The lovely folks at Venom Tech have tweeted, enjoying the Business Bunker Show as always on this glorious sunny day. We're looking forward to being part of this exciting new podcast series, which is World Snake Vine. Yeah, you heard that right. Word Snake Vine. Keep your eye out for more information coming soon. It's Word on the Snake Vine presents the Summer of Toxins. Blimey, some people know how to have fun, don't they? That's the lovely folks at Venom Tech over there at Discovery Park in Sandwich. And they're going to be part of the podcast series Word Snake Vine. Well, well, well. It's amazing what goes on. The beauty editor has asked for a shout out on the Business Bunker Show, so consider yourself shouted out. Louise Flower Mad has asked for a shout out. Annie the Pet Nanny. I would like to thank Zoe Cairns of Zesty Social Media and all the group for such valuable help and advice during these times. It's been invaluable. Yeah, no, Zoe's fantastic, and the whole team, Zoe, Gareth and the team at Zesty Social Media are brilliant. And they're doing so much to help small businesses, self-employed people, sole traders, and people to engage more with digital and social marketing. Red House Mortgages have said it's definitely made us more efficient and, more importantly, be able to help more clients quickly. Having an online portal for clients to access securely and upload documents is now so much easier. Absolutely. I tell you what, I think what we'll do is we'll have a couple of adverts and then we'll go and join Jules in a Zoom chat, and then we'll resume from there.
This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Here we are, me and the lovely Vanilla Webb, with our weekly catch-up about what's going on in the UK and globally with the business world. Hello.
Hello. Week 12 of lockdown, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah, well, apparently.
You know, I think I've been in for 14 weeks because I did it before Boris asked us to. And sorry, I've got a thyroid tablet stuck in my throat.
Have a slurp.
But yesterday...
She's having a slurp, listener.
Yeah, it's lovely filtered water. Mm. Yesterday, Paul Andrews and the lovely listeners, I went out for the first time to a shop.
Blimey.
Because you've got to start somewhere and...
Where'd you go, Primark?
No.
You had some leggings in Primark, did you?
No, I didn't. It's too hot for leggings, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
But haven't you got yours on?
Yeah, of course. I always wear my leggings.
Very hot. Mm. So I put a little mask on. I took it with me in the car because they're very hot and uncomfortable. I don't know how the medics wear them for 14 hours and stuff. Mm. Put a little mask on. I got my hand sanitizer in the car. What else did I have? Something else. Can't remember. Anyway, so I went to Lily's Tiles in Herne Bay because I'm trying to support a local family business.
Right.
And... I had an hour appointment that was booked, so just me and the lovely Natalie there. Very gorgeous. She's half Brazilian, half Italian, I think. Very
she's
gorgeous.
Half what?
Brazilian and half Italian.
Brazilian. Oh, okay.
And she's just buying a house or a flat in Mortimer Street with her boyfriend. So I was, you know, chatting to her about property and stuff and working from home.
Right.
And we looked at tiles. I got completely, you know, tiles, there's just so many to choose from. But what was frightening was, because I've been in for 14 weeks, I'd lost my confidence, and I'm quite a bumptious sort of confident person, aren't I?
Yeah. When you say you lost your confidence, in what way? Did you get all shy and emotional?
No, but I felt, when I left my house, I felt all right, because I drive to my mum's most days and pop, you know, jar of pickled onions through a letterbox and things, as you do. But it was a longer journey than I've done, like 10 minutes we're talking. And I completely forgot which roundabout it was on. And it's a place I know really, really, really well. And I know that it was my psyche from having been in for 14 weeks.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think this is something that we need to focus on, because we've now been such a long time, you know, 3 or 4 months of, in a completely different place. Sometimes, you know, it shows you how much we work on habit. You know, I'm sure you've done like I have. You've got in the car one day and ended up, you know, driving somewhere that you weren't going because it's where you normally drive to. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And especially, you know, if we're foolish enough to have a conversation hands-free, which I do sometimes do and I mustn't, because I'll have a conversation, I'm hands-free, I'm totally legal, but just end up thinking, how on earth did I get here? Which isn't good. So but let me just tell you that before we talk about the mindset, because I think that's interesting. So I got there eventually thinking, God, which roundabout is it? Is it this roundabout? You know, it should be there. And it's literally two roundabouts along the Thanet Way. So a place that I know really well, I've been there, you know, and bought tiles before. And I got there, and then there's a notice on saying, you know, do not enter unless you've got an appointment. Please, you know, keep the social distancing. And how do you open the door? Because I didn't. I had gloves in my bag.
That is a memory failure. Yeah. It's a knob, darling. There's a knob. You get hold of the knob and you twist it. Is
well,
what
that's
you do.
That's more of something I do at home. What I had to do, I had gloves, but I couldn't bother to go back to the car and rummage in the bottom of my handbag. I left my handbag in the car, covered up with a cardigan for any burglars that might be along, because that's how I was brought up.
They know your plan now, though, don't you? There's a cardigan there. That'll be Jules covering up the handbag.
So I covered up with a little cardigan, and but I couldn't bother to go back to the car and rummage around for these disposable gloves. So I got the bottom of my dress, and this is the dress I was wearing, and I'm waving at you. I got the end of it, put my little claw in that, and opened the door like that, which was ridiculous. Because then this vicious virus, as we call it, is lurking on my dress for the whole day. And then I went upstairs, met Natalie, who was lovely, and we kept naturally coming towards each other, looking at tiles, and then we both kept stepping back. It was horrible. It was very strange. So you're always checking yourself. You're never natural. You can't touch the tiles. I kept taking pictures and stuff. But what was silly at the end, she gave me her business card. And I wasn't rude enough to say anything. And I put it embarrassedly into my little phone holder. And thought, but you know, it's the end of the business card, isn't it? Has to be.
Haven't you got any hand sanitizer?
Yes. So then I went back into my car.
What you do is you sanitize your hands.
Well, I went back into the car and I sat there, put the radio on, and I wiped my mobile phone because I had touched some tile things, which I shouldn't have done. And I have got her card still in my phone. Can you see?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I wiped all that and I wiped the screen and I've left the card in there. Yeah. But it's just another world, Paul Andrews. So going back to mindset, I just think, I was thinking about it, you know, people have been on furlough for a long, long time. Let's face it, getting money for sitting on the beach and being in the garden and who really wants to go back to work? I'm sure there's lots of people that are very happy on furlough, and I'm sorry if I'm being rude, but looking at my beach where I live, they're all out there barbecuing, and you know, it's like August. So I wonder if people are losing confidence like I did, whether the longer they're off work, the more they forget their skills, the more they forget about what, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, and also getting up a bit later, going to bed a bit later, a bit like the Christmas holidays, you know, when you get on a later schedule. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think there's two or three different things going on there. And I think those two or three things will amplify as we start to unlock. What you've got is you've got a lot of people that will have their habitual patterns of behaviour will change because, as you just described, they've stopped doing things that they normally do.
Yeah.
You're going to have a group of people that are still quite scared about going out and meeting other people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're also going to have a group of people who go, whatever,
Yeah.
It's all over now. It doesn't matter anymore. Give us a kiss.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that you're going to get lots of people reacting in different ways to how you are. And that could cause a number of problems in itself. So you're going to get someone that offers you their hand to shake and you go, oh, sorry, I'm not shaking hands. And people will take offense. And you go, you know, it's nothing personal. I just don't want to catch you with germs. We're going to have a lot of difficulties socially when we start to fully unlock and fully go back.
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, lunches, teas, coffees. Yeah, but everybody's like, going to have to take their own food. And
The problem with this is that the government and the BBC and everybody have been so terrifying people.
Oh, gosh.
That they don't know what to do. You know, they talk about being 2 metres apart. And you get lots of people that get very antagonistic if you get within, you know, 1.80 metres. And, you know, you understand that. They don't want their personal space invaded. But I've also seen other people that have just completely forgotten it, and they'll walk up and put their arm around you. And
look at Primark. Look at the queues.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so we're going to have a massive problem of readjusting to all of this. And I suspect a lot of that is why the government haven't unlocked more than they have. They're trying to do this as slowly as possible.
Yeah. And damned if they do and damned if they don't, as I said last week.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But it's down to all of us how we handle this going forward. And the problem is there's a lot of people that don't believe that the virus is that
bad
anyway. Mm. There's a lot of people that thought it was bad but think it's over.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are still terrified by it. And there are a small number of people that should be terrified by it because they have underlying issues that could affect them quite badly. But that's also going to be affected by the fact that they've now discovered that they've got a treatment for it.
Yes, and isn't it something, I've only heard this from my mum from the Daily Mail, and I haven't got her copy yet. I get a copy of her Daily Mail. Isn't it something that's readily available in chemists and they've got stockpiled
and cheap
as well?
Yep. And the government authorised it for its use yesterday. And they were saying that it's only in certain cases that it works, apparently. If you need ventilation, this drug apparently circumvents or assists or does something if you need to be ventilated. So,
hang on, does it stop you having to be ventilated or...?
Yeah, well, I don't know because I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
But what it isn't is a general purpose cure. Yeah. So it's not something they're going to give to everybody that rocks up with the virus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something they give to people under certain circumstances. And those circumstances are the dangerous circumstances.
Yeah. It would be interesting because what I've read is that the last thing you want to do is go on those ventilators and be put in a semi-coma and, you know, lying face down.
Exactly. So this treatment is to circumvent that. Yeah, but only that. It's, you know, if you rock up and they go, you're right, you've got coronavirus, you've got a cough, they're not gonna prescribe this medicine for you unless you get to the point where you're in a big state and you actually need it. That's my understanding anyway.
The government around the world and, you know, globally, but also in the UK are pumping money into the economy, taxpayers' money, we're all gonna have to pay it back. And I think, you know, if this furlough goes on much longer, people, as we've said, are going to lose their confidence. And I think people need to get back to work. If they can go shopping to Primark and stand in queues and things, I really think that they could be in an office where windows can be open and stuff.
Yeah.
The stock markets are rallying unbelievably.
Yeah. But absolutely.
That's because, you know, investors are investing because the government's pumping money. But that's in spite, of course, of this second wave, which we've seen starting in Beijing, possibly. I mean, Brazil is very, very dicey because they're not really acknowledging it.
I think the problem for me, just observing this, I think the problem is if we look at too many other places, you're not really sure what you're looking at. You know, see, it's really hard to make judgments based on something happening somewhere else. Yeah,
I think
because there's been lots of places where there aren't second spikes. So I just think, you know, different different places are having different reactions to it for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be careful about that. We will know if there's going to be a second spike within the next week or so, because for the last 2 weeks, hundreds of thousands of people have been out on the streets fighting with each other.
Yeah.
So they've all been exchanging bodily fluids for a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So we will find out very soon if there's a big second spike here, I think. And then
I've actually got to the stage now. I've been doing my roots, ladies, with a lovely company that I've used for years called Gentle Beauty. You can find them on gentlebeauty.co.uk. So as soon as lockdown came, being a woman, I ordered my lovely hair colour, and it's every 3 weeks. And my new husband won't help me because I can't see the back.
I'll do it for you.
He doesn't want to know. And it's most annoying. So I actually asked a hairdresser who's on furlough, who I know really well. I said, look, would you come round and sit in my garden, plonk it on, leave, I'll pay you by backs, I will go and wash it myself. So she's standing behind me, she's just got to dob it on. It's not really, you know, I'll be wearing a mask, she'll be wearing a mask, and she's behind me outside in the sunshine. And she's too scared. And she's also, I'm being careful what I say now, but her husband has a business and she's doing a lot of deliveries for him. It's a baker. So her business is suffering. And she says, to be honest, Jules, I don't know when I'll go back. She said, I've got people begging me, but we have to keep this other business alive. And she's doing all the deliveries.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to pay for a delivery driver. So, but I don't see now, being selfish, why somebody can't come in my garden. If you can meet for a barbecue and sit around getting drunk, you know, eating burgers, I'm sure somebody could come and put my roots on. So if anybody's listening, my new husband, because I'm sure the crown of my head, I need to walk backwards, really. But and I'd also like to thank the lovely Susie Fish, who you'll find on Twitter. She's Tropic Susie with a Z, Fish. And she's been sending me all my suntan creams, my BB creams. I've been posting it to my daughter and my lovely son Shay's girlfriend. And it's free postage. They've done free postage all through lockdown. It ends at the end of this month. So get all your potions from Tropic Susie Fish. And also, with these little positive stories, I know you like a positive story, Canterbury Baking School. That's .com, CanterburyBakingSchool.com, are offering one-to-one lessons for Father's Day. You can get a little voucher. Wow. So that's a really nice thing. You can go and make...
Would you make a Victoria sponge?
Yeah, or a sourdough.
Lemon drizzle cake.
Oh, get me there. Because my new one weakness is a limoncello lemon drizzle cake.
Years and years ago, I took all my staff to Rome for the weekend, and half of them got smashed on limoncello.
Oh God, you get such a hangover from it.
Well, it was worse than that. I'm not going to describe it on the radio because it was disgusting. But the smell of stale, reused limoncello is not something that you want to experience.
No, it's quite potent stuff. And it's actually something I normally refuse because they often give it to you free in restaurants at the end. And I tend to, that's what always gives me a hangover. Anyway, Canterbury Baking School, go and see them. It's Vicky, canterburybakingschool.com. Get a little voucher. You can make sourdough bread and all sorts of gorgeous stuff. Paul Hollywood visited there, so that's really nice. And Vicky's husband is an artisan furniture designer, Barry Feldman, and I've used him. Well, he did my standing desk, the one that folds down. So they are a dynamic duo. And I was trying to do a little blood test, you may have seen, for my thyroid, a finger prick, so I don't have to go to the clinic. And I couldn't do it. The blood just smeared everywhere. It was all very dramatic. It was like Zed cars, emergency ward 10. It was like
no one remember emergency ward 10.
Yeah, only you and me. So the lovely Greenfields Clinic, Tom Greenfield in Canterbury, in Palace Street, I think they are, has offered to prick my finger or take my blood for free. And I'm going next Monday at 9 a.m. So thank you to them, because I didn't want to go to a clinic with 100 nurses that are all in and out.
Yeah, sure.
So thank you to them. So there is positive stuff there, Paul.
Yep, no, there is. No, there is. And you know, there are people still working, people that have worked all the way through. There are people doing fantastic jobs for other people and keeping us all going. You know, we've talked to many times in the last few weeks about local independent shops that have kept us all going.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant. We need to start thinking about how we're going to come out of this now, though. We really do. And we need to think about the things that you raised at the beginning of this chat about how we go back out and
confidence
and being confident and still being careful, you know, still washing your hands, taking sanitizer with you, wearing a mask where appropriate, and all those kind of things, and just, you know, being aware of what we're doing.
I found the news very wishy-washy. I don't watch it every night because I find it a bit depressing, but I watched the 10 o'clock news last night because I do love Hugh Edwards. I think he's a brilliant presenter very watchable. And they say how many deaths have been today, you know, they announce it, but they don't, unless you've watched it every day, they don't tell you. The thing that you really want to know is that up or down from yesterday? So I think yesterday was 153 deaths. My new husband was working, but I don't know if that's up from Monday or down from Monday. It would help if they said.
Yeah, no, but the problem with these statistics is that they're just nonsense anyway. They're not how many people died yesterday. That's the thing that throws everybody. It's a cumulative total. If you actually look at the raw data, some of those people died in May.
Really?
You know, it's not... Really. Their death certificates are catching up. It's how many new death certificates they've got. It's the whole thing, the statistics are nonsense. There's only one place where you can find the actual statistics, which is the Office of National Statistics, and they publish a full update at the end of each month. So at the moment, you can see the actual statistics by day, by region, by country in the UK up until the end of May.
Right. Because I know it fluctuates after a bank holiday or a weekend. It takes a while to catch up.
Yeah.
But it is very, very wishy-washy because, you know, saying 153 deaths or whatever they said last night doesn't tell me anything, really.
Yeah. No.
I haven't asked. It's very lax of me. But who's our sponsor?
Conning Bat Removals are still sponsoring. It's still June. And lovely folks that do removals, storage and document archiving.
Fabulous.
So do give them a follow.
It's
folks at Conning Bat Removals.
It's good that they're working. And I've had my utility room is all very bad, and it had a little leak in my bathroom. And that's all been shored up by a lovely workman who was great and kept himself to himself.
Did you have the mega storm last night or yesterday?
It rained in the night, but I didn't hear any thunder.
All right. During the afternoon in Maidstone, there was a most horrendous thunderstorm.
Well, I saw on the news that there were going to be flash floods, but so far in Whitstable, it's still... I've actually got my washing on the line. It's been okay. It rained in the night, but it was quite nice.
Mm. No, I just sort of thought because it was really bad over in Maidstone area, really bad. And there's loads of videos of it on social media, but we got some rain overnight, but it was nothing like what they had.
I'd like to say to the listener that if you have any positive stories around your business and how you've been coping and how you've been adapting, do let me and Vanilla Web know. So at Vanilla Web or at Jules Serkin on the Twitter or Facebook, you'll find us. Be really interesting. We'll give you a shout. For now, me, lovely Paul.
It's goodbye.
It's been really nice talking to you.
And you, my dear.
If you'd like to pop round and do my roots.
I'll smash it all on. Don't you worry.
I mean, it's easy. I'll make you a cup of tea. You slosh it on with your mask, and I have my mask.
Oh, we'll do that.
And I'll see you soon.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Through the afternoon, your favourite station, Channel Radio.
That was Jules and I who caught up last week. If anybody was wondering what that kind of strange noise was during the interview, that was Jules's tendency to wear big dangly earrings that bang on a Zoom microphone, which gave us a nice little background hum there. But apart from that,
It was great to catch up with Jules, and I'm sure we'll catch up with again next week and find out how things are going and what's happening. I've got some more tweets that I want to read out, some very interesting stuff. The lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law has been on, talking about Miguel from Blue Rocket Accounting. She's saying, we're now seeing lots of businesses starting to think about staffing levels as suppliers are starting to request payments, and it's great to hear that businesses are becoming more efficient since lockdown. Absolutely, Gemma. I think... also, sadly, on the downside of that, there's going to be quite a few fallouts here when people actually do go and actually try and collect some of the money they're owed and find that businesses are struggling to pay. So I think a lot of people are going to be facing some cash flow issues as things unfold. Lots of people commenting on both Natalie and Miguel's interviews. Thank you so much for that. And just catching up with the ZC Social Media Challenge gang, Wendy Hutton, Wendy Hunter number one on the Twitter, has said, I'm so so pleased to have heard the Business Bunker Show. So thank you for that. That's Wendy Hutton one, number one on the Twitter. Do give her a follow. We've got a few minutes left of the show, not long, so do tweet in if you want. Oh, and apparently, it's International Women in Engineering Day. So a huge shout out to all the ladies working in STEM industries, and more power to you. And let's get more more ladies working in STEM industries and engineering. It's we need engineers. We do. And we need people that work in engineering, technology and manufacturing. And the more people, the more ladies that we can encourage to do that, the better. So happy International Women in Engineering Day to everyone. What else have we got here? Beverly Bunn has been on talking about what Miguel and I were saying, and she said, we've developed a whole new arm to my business because of lockdown, inspired by spending so much time in my own garden, collaborating with a young metal worker starting his own business. I'm now making garden glass alongside my interiors glass. Well, that's interesting. That's Beverly Bunn on Twitter, Medway based glass artist. And you can follow Beverly at Bev Bunn, BUNN, glass art. All one word is her Twitter handle, Bev Bunn Glass Art. And she's kind of expanded her business to move outside as well as inside with her glass art. So nice one, Beverly. What else have we got here? I've got some other events to tell you about. Do keep your tweets coming, though. This is from Linda Garcia of Aluxi Training. Aluxi Consulting, sorry. I'm hosting an online workshop in partnership with Best Business Events. This is a live interactive workshop giving you the tools and techniques to optimize your time and add more value to your business. It's the title is How to Use Your Time to Make More Money for Your Business. It's tomorrow, mañana, Wednesday the 24th of June, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And the key principles of time and task management. What's your business purpose and how do you achieve it? What activities should you be focusing on? What are your time thieves and how do you get rid of them? How to prioritize your tasks and measure your progress? What's your ideal sacred time? All business people should attend this interactive session and learn how to do more in less time and only focus on the key tasks that are going to make money for your business. It includes a free workbook to use during the workshop that you can adapt to your business. The trainer is Linda Garcia of Aluxi Consulting, and she works with ambitious business leaders illuminating hidden opportunity to optimize productivity and maximize your profits, implementing robust management systems, delivering tailored leadership development programs which will evolve your business from survival to success. You can book your place on tomorrow's webinar by going to bitesizeonline.co.uk. That's bitesizeonline.co.uk. We've got some other things to tell you about here as well. There's an FSB webinar happening on Friday the 10th of July at 10 a.m. It's the Kent Virtual Business Support, Managing Your Stress in Stressful Times. Backed by popular demand, expect a fun, engaging and fast hour of easily digestible, evidence-based information together with simple and practical tools you can start using straight away. The guest speaker is Ali Hollands, and the event is hosted by Deborah Turner. Fantastic. That's going to be brilliant. Ali and Deb's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Do check it out. Managing Your Stress in Stressful Times. If you want to book on that virtual webinar, fsb.org.uk/event calendar fsb.org.uk/FSB Kent Virtual Business Support. fsb.org.uk/event calendar, and you can find all of the FSB's webinars listed there. Best business events have a Women in Business Network live webinar. Using technology, you will be able to interact and chat with other ladies and hear some great speakers. The event is chaired by Julie Monk of All Health Matters, and the speaker on this episode is Jane Woodhead. It's taking place this Friday, June the 26th, 12 to 1.30, that's lunchtime. And again, all the details, bitesizeonline.co.uk. That's the Women in Business Network live this Friday, 12 o'clock with speaker Jane Woodhead. Do check that out. There's a biggie webinar taking place this Friday. Businesses are invited to join a webinar and help shape Kent's road to renewal. Business owners and managers across the county are invited to take part in a free webinar arranged by the Kent Business Summit team. The Kent Business Summit are a group from the business school at the University of Kent in Canterbury there. And the Kent Business Summit team have arranged a webinar on Friday the 26th of June from 12.30 to 1.30. The keynote speakers include Kent County Council leader, Councillor Roger Goff, and the Bank of England local agent, Phil Eckersley. Professor Marion Garcia, who's the Dean of the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, said the information sharing and networking that goes on at each Kent Business Summit is valuable to us all in different ways. It seems important to extend the collaboration and peer-to-peer support that takes place at each summit and bring it online to businesses during this extraordinary time. The leader of Kent County Council, Roger Goff, said COVID-19 is both a health emergency and an economic emergency. It's vital we support Kent and Medway businesses of all sizes as our local economy begins to recover and revive. The Kent Business Summit webinar will provide the opportunity to discuss and shape how best we can provide the most effective support to keep Kent open for business and to invest in the future. During the hour's online event, participants will hear the latest economic forecast from the Bank of England, as well as an overview of the Council's draft roadmap to renewal as we begin to move out of lockdown. This includes plans to support business, accelerate business growth, and invest in the future. You can submit questions in advance by email to kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. So you can send in questions or thoughts or anything that you want to say about this to kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. During the live webinar, you can chat via the online chat function, or you can use social media using the hashtag Kent Business Summit. This is the first in a series of webinars that they're going to be running to support the business community. So do check that out. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/renewal, you can find all the details there and all the links to book your place on it. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/renewal. We'll tell you all about that which you need to know to book yourself on it. Listen, we've got loads of tweets still coming in from the crew at ZC Social Media Challenge Group. We've got loads of tweets coming in from everybody else. If I've missed you, I'm dreadfully sorry. I really am. Do tweet me again next week, and I'll try and find you for next week. But I've tried to read out as many as I could and return the hellos as best we could. I want to say a huge thank you to the two guests today. We first heard from Natalie Ray of Life Ladder Limited in the first part of the show, and then Miguel Calaprese of Blue Rocket Accounting in the second half of the show. Thank you both very much for joining us today. Thank you to the literally hundreds of people that tweeted in, people that sent emails, and people that interacted with the show. Without you, we don't exist as a show, so thank you so much for that. It looks like we're starting to unwind now and unlock, so we'll see how that affects the radio over the next couple of weeks. But if you're in the entertainment, leisure, or food and drink business, it looks like you're going to be allowed to start working. We'd love to hear from you, the challenges you face, the way that you've overcome things that you've done to do things differently.
let us know. Drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk. Let me know how things are going. But that's it for another week on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.